Hi, it's Mike Church, founder of the Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel. Maybe you didn't know this, so let me clue you in. We are a listener-owned radio enterprise, meaning we're the little guy, the underdog, a David in a stadium full of fake news Goliaths. So, in exchange for your listening to this awesome preview of one of our shows, Puddle's Pity Party, promise me you'll download our free app and use it to listen to that show when it's live. And number two, consider joining us and becoming a paying Founders Pass member by going to crusadechannel.com and clicking the join button at the top of any page. Now that's not asking too much, is it? So go ahead, relax, and enjoy the following feast of original programming exclusively here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Chapter 1, Opinions Respecting Secession Determined by Passion, Not by Reason. Chapter 2, The Issue or Point in Controversy. You know, that's a really good read, The Issue or Point in Controversy. It is conceded both by Daniel Webster and Joseph Story that if the Constitution is a compact to which the states are the parties, then the states have a right to secede from the Union at pleasure. Thus says Webster in stating the consequences of Calhoun's doctrine, quote, if a league between sovereign powers have no limitation as to the time of duration and contain nothing making it perpetual, it subsists only during the good pleasure of the parties, although no violation be complained of. If in the opinion of either party it be violated, such party may say he will no longer fulfill his obligations on his part, but will consider the whole league of compact at an end, although it might be one of its stipulations that it should be perpetual. In like manner, Mr. Justice Story says, quote, the obvious deductions which may be and indeed have been drawn from considering the Constitution a compact between states or that it operates as a mere treaty or convention between them, and as an obligatory force no longer than suits its pleasure or its consent continues. Thus, the great controversy is narrowed down to the single question. Is the Constitution a compact between the states? If so, then the right of secession is conceded, even by its most powerful and determined opponents, by the great jurist. He's talking about Story. He's mocking him because he wasn't a great jurist, as well as by the great expounder of the North. That's, of course, Lincoln. The denial that the Constitution was a compact is presented in every possible form or variety or of expression. We are told that it was not made by the states, nor by the people of the states, but by the people of the whole United States in the aggregate. The states, we are assured, did not accede to the Constitution. It was ordained by the sovereign people of America as one nation. Echoing the bold assertion of Mitter Webster, Mitter Motley says that the states never acceded to the Constitution and have no power to secede from it. It was ordained and established over the states by a power superior to the states, by the people of the whole land in their aggregate capacity. You see, without me even telling you how ridiculous of a statement that it is, you ought to be able to see that, especially those of you that have any training in logic whatsoever. It was not made by the states, and it was not ratified by the states, they say. It was, on the contrary, made and ordained by the people of America as one nation, and is, therefore, the constitution of a national government. Such is the doctrine which, in every mode of expression, is inculcated by the Stories, the Websters, and the Motleys of the North. When we consider in the simple light of history the manner in which the Constitution was made or framed and afterwards ratified, such assertions seem exceedingly wonderful, not to say inexplicable, on the supposition that their authors were honest men. But who can measure the mysterious depths of party spirit or the force of political passions in a democracy? I know something of that force, for during the greater part of my life, I followed with implicit confidence those blind leaders of the blind, Mr. Justice Story and Daniel Webster. History will yet open the eyes of the world to the strange audacity of their assertions.